Welcome to another edition of the Baseball America Prospect Handbook Podcast. J.J. Cooper and Josh Norris, J.J. and the Bear here together to talk Arizona Fall League rosters. We're going to talk AFL rosters, who stands out, which are the rosters to see most. I think there's some pretty clear answers on that. But also after that, I have an interview with Dodgers right-hander Jose De Leon, which he was very good talking about pitching, talking about what it's like to stand in the batter's box and see a 101-mile-an-hour fastball from Alex Reyes, which he got to do last week. Not so fun.
He got to do. More like had to do.
Yeah, had to do. He also got to bunt against Alex Reyes, which that's not fun either.
No. We'll have forever.
So we'll have that a little bit later in the podcast, but we're just going to jump right in. We're looking at the Arizona Fall League rosters were announced today, September 1st, so we got 40-man roster expansion to call, you know, September call-ups. And Arizona Fall League, a lot going on. So let's start, though. We're just going to jump right in with, we're going to look team by team, some of the players that stand out, and then we'll kind of look at the overall makeup of the roster. Is this one of the better ones? Is this one of the worst ones? All that. But and I will preface by saying, looking at these overall, usually, bad news is these rosters usually get worse before the games start. Nothing against anything, what just happens is some guys usually pull out for injury reasons, and usually the guys that replace them do not equal the guys who get, you know, who are on the roster now but never make it to Arizona. But so we're going to start with Glendale. The Glendale Desert Dogs, coached by Bill Hasselman, Midwest League Great Lakes manager this year. And this team has Dodgers, White Sox, Phillies, Pirates, and Astros on it. We do not know right now who the Dodgers pitchers are for this, which could be pretty interesting because they've got a number of guys who are pretty interesting pitchers.
Speaking of Jose De Leon.
Right. I think he might go to, if he's got a lot of innings this year, and I think he'd go to Puerto Rico if not, but that's an option. Jarrell Cotton, who, again, has enough innings, but he'd be another interesting guy. We'll see what they have.
He'd be the second Cotton on this team.
That is true. Chris Cotton is there for the Astros.
Yes.
But, so, Bear, I will ask you, I think I know the answer to this. Who are you most excited to see when you go out to Arizona on this Desert Dogs Club?
The Desert Dogs Club, you'd think I was going to say J.P. Crawford, but you'd be wrong. Because I'm going to do this by guys I haven't seen before.
Right,
because
you've seen J.P. Crawford a lot.
Not a lot, but a few times. I want to see Andrew Knapp, because I haven't seen Andrew Knapp in a while.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all. I'll be honest, I didn't.
Okay, well, I want to see Andrew Knapp. He had the month from heaven recently, and I want to see if this is what I think it is. If this is a real a guy who's proven to be the guy they drafted with the second round pick in a couple of years ago, coming off Tommy John surgery, just destroyed at Reading this year as Reading continued to destroy all the way up through the playoffs, and they're gonna clinch their first division since 2000 here very shortly. But I want to see what all the hype is about, and I want to see if this is a guy who could jump into the top 10 of a now super loaded Phillies system. So that's who I want to see. Who do you think I wanted to see?
I was going to say, if you weren't going to go J.P. Crawford, I thought you were going to go A.J. Reed, because A.J. Reed is having one of the best seasons in the minors this year. I don't think there's any real question about that. He dominated in Lancaster. He climbed the level up to Double A Corpus Christi, which is not an easy place for a left-handed hitter, power hitter, and he's had no problems there. He's pretty much dominated that level as well, and so he's obviously a very interesting guy to see. I'm kind of interested to see. I don't know necessarily how much he has to gain from this. Like, this is one of those that if he has a great AFL, it just gets him a little closer to, okay, he's going to spring training with a idea of competing for a big league job either on opening day or, as these things often work out, a little bit later into the season.
Right.
But he'll be interesting to see for that reason. The interesting thing is his Knapp's on this roster. I don't even know if he's the best catcher on this roster.
As far as receiving goes, he's not. Reese McGuire is obviously your best pure catcher on this list. But I've had great reviews on Andrew Knapp very recently from when I got curious and I decided to text a few guys. And most of what they said was, yeah, this is a bat that could play right now. It's going to have power. His arm is getting there coming off the Tommy John surgery. He does have a few edges to polish as far as receiving goes. But you drafted him for his bat, and it looks like that's what you're going to get.
The interesting thing is a great group of catchers here. Kyle Farmer, Andrew Knapp, Reese McGuire. All three of those guys are going to be big leaguers.
Yeah, the third catcher in that list is a futures gamer.
Right, and I think a pretty solid prospect in his own right. All three of those guys are going to be big leaguers. All three of those guys are guys who have either, you know, again, McGuire's the, right now, I hate to say it, but he's the defense that the bat has to come along. Knapp's the bat that the glove needs to come along. Farmer is kind of the older guy, but who's a little bit closer to the big leagues, I would say, as far as refinement. That's, again, that's a pretty good combo of three guys. You look at this outfield. Austin Meadows is obviously the biggest name there, Pirates center fielder. But this will also be very interesting for Courtney Hawkins as he continues. He moved so fast. He struggled. He had a little better start this year. He missed some time, and now this gives him a chance to get some ABs back.
Yeah, he's going to hit some balls onto the maybe into the White Sox offices at Camelback Ranch. He's going to break a few windows. I've seen him plenty of times when he was with Winston-Salem. I really want to see if the recognition of breaking balls has improved. The approach in general has improved. I mean, from what I saw, that guy's a bad ball hitter or a mistake hitter, and there's a lot of those guys in the minors. We want to see if he can separate himself.
The interesting thing is, I don't know if the AFL is a good place to find that answer out.
It is a good place to test him against velocity, too.
That is, it is a good place to test against velocity, but as far as, you know, that's it's a great place to hit, too. So, and a lot of times the pitchers are a little bit more worn down.
No question.
But you look at the rest of this roster on the pitching side. There are a couple guys who have been traded in recent years. We saw Nick Pivetta, who was a deadline deal acquisition of the Phillies not so long ago. Tom Wendell, who the Phillies picked up last offseason, mm-hmm. who moved into being a pretty prominent prospect for them.
You know, we talk about what the Phillies acquired at this deadline. What they've also have the last couple of deadlines, these 16 or 17 players they've acquired, is possibly a pretty good bullpen behind, I assume, what's going to wind up being the closer, Ken Giles. I mean, Tom Wendell is a guy who, it sounds like they moved to the bullpen, and he could be better there. The reviews were not great on him as a starter, but if he's in the bullpen throwing in the mid-90s, you got a guy from the left side of the mid-90s with 6'4", 215. That's a weapon to have. Edubre Ramos is a guy that I ranked at the 30 this year, low to mid-90s with a fastball with a 12-6 hook. Who could be a weapon too at Cardinals castoff, which is the rare guy, the Cardinals castoff, who does well.
No, that is not the
not how you want it, not how they draw it up. And Pavetta's gotten really good reviews. You know, guy in the mid-90s with sink and a feel for a slider. I've heard up to 99 this year. He got really good reviews in Carolina League calls. If everything breaks wrong for these guys, they can be excellent bullpen arms. And then another guy who could be a really good bullpen arm, not with the Phillies, is Robinson Lehrer, who with the White Sox, who I wrote about earlier this year. He's one of those, you know, small guys who can bring it up to 98, 99 with a slider and a changeup. I mean, it's a very very common mix you see among these skinny Latino guys, these fast changeup slider guys, and if one of those doesn't come along, they could be a weapon in the bullpen if they have command.
I look at this roster overall. I think this is one of the better rosters we have here. We'll rank them when we're done.
But it's not the best.
But it's one of the best. Yeah. I mean, you have J.P. Crawford, who's a top 10 prospect. You have Austin Meadows, who's a very solid prospect. A.J. Reed is a very solid prospect who had a great year this year. And then, you look on the pitching side, and there's a lot of really pretty impressive pitchers as far as arms. I mean, and that's without not knowing who the four Dodgers pitchers are going to be.
Right. So that could change a lot of things.
Right. So we're going to move on to the Mesa Solar Sox. This is the club that has the Angels, the A's, the Cubs, the Marlins, and the Rays. So I will ask you the question again. So, Bear, who do you most excited to see here?
You know, I'm going to go off the board here again. I'm going to go with Matt Chapman. I saw him a little bit in
Team USA?
Instructs last year. And I like what I saw from him in a very short outing.
Very good season this year. He's had an excellent year in the Cal League.
His swing is gorgeous.
And that's not even his best tool.
No, we want to learn what a rail gun is.
Yes.
Apparently.
Great arm.
If he gets to show it off. Wilson Contreras. I don't know why I'm skipping your turn, but I am. Wilson Contreras is a guy who popped up at catcher, too.
Great year. Another guy with a great year.
On a really prospect-laden Smokies team. They had Billy McKinney, they've had Candelario, they had Schwarber. And this guy's kind of raising his hand in the back of the class going, look at me, and here he is in the Fall League with Cale Brockmeyer too, his teammate.
For me, I'll go a couple other guys. Those are good choices. I agree with those choices. Chad Pinder had a very dominant year in Double-A. Chad Pinder is a guy, shortstop for the A's, who talked to some scouts who think that maybe he does stay at shortstop. I think there's been a lot of skepticism about that. He's a guy who's really been helped by the moves that the A's made, because he was kind of, with Daniel Robertson and Addison Russell, he was kind of the third wheel as far as shortstops, kind of climbing the ladder. Now, he's actually going to be teammates with Daniel Robertson here on this Mesa Solar Sox club. But now, with them out of the organization, it kind of gave Pinder a larger role, and he's responded to that very well. Been one of the best players in the Texas League this year. He's a notable guy. Jake Bowers, listed on here as an outfielder. Rays, I'm going to say Rays first baseman, because he's a really good first baseman defensively, who, as a, the question's always been, how much power is he going to have, but really excellent feel for hit, really good defender at first base, kind of an interesting guy from that standpoint. Again, looking at the rest of this, Sean Manaea, new A, recent pickup, is another guy who came over in the Zobrist deal. He missed some time early in the year. This gives him a chance to get some innings. Some additional innings. Pierce Johnson with the Cubs. Seems like he's always had a dinger or two here or there, but trying to show that he still has a significant role coming up at some point with the Cubs. This would be good for him to get some more innings there. And another guy I'll just point out, like, again, there's not a whole lot in the Marlins system to get all excited about right now, but Jacob Esch, former Georgia Tech shortstop, turn pitcher, is one of the better pitching prospects still in the minors for them. That's not saying much, because the Marlins have had to bring up a whole lot of guys this year because of injuries, but Jacob Esch is definitely a guy to watch from that standpoint, that you could say, okay, he's somewhat interesting, and he's a Marlins pitcher. There aren't many of those these days.
And Trevor Williams is on his team.
Mm-hmm.
From a silly standpoint, I want to see Michael Franco make the major leagues and pitch to Michael Franco one day. I mean, if we have that, and the last team was clearly the initials team. We had A.J. Reed, J.D. Davis, J.P. Crawford, and J.B. Wendelken. So that's going to be a fun team as far as headlines are concerned.
But I think overall, again, Elliot Soto is on this team. He's another Marlins guy. But he, I think overall, though, Mark Zagunas is one other guy I did want to mention, because Mark Zagunas had a great year. We technically, you have three Cubs on this who have caught. Marcus Zagunas used to be a catcher. The Cubs also have Cale Brockmeyer and Wilson Contreras among the three catchers on this team. But Zagunas has become an outfielder with significant on-base skills.
Best eye in the Carolina League. I want to see him draw some walks.
He does draw some walks.
I want to watch it.
Yes. But so I overall, though, on the...
just the middle of the pack team.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Middle of the six-team pack.
So that moves us on. Peoria Javelinas, Braves, Mariners, Orioles, Padres, and Reds. I wrote this one up for our Arizona Fall League analysis. So
it's on our site soon, if not now.
Hope by the time you're listening to this, it better be on our site. But so I will kick it back to you, Bear. Who stands out to you?
Well, I'm going to go with a guy that I've seen in the past many a time and did not much care for, although everybody else seems to, Lucas Sims.
Okay.
The octane is there, the fastball is there, the pitches are there. I've never seen him command it real well. He's doing better this year.
He's having a great month in August,
right?
in Double-A.
That's why I want to see what's changed. He missed a lot of time this year after the Mudcats bus crash, so I don't think anything changed because of that, but he did. That's why he's here, because he missed a lot of time after his bus crashed. Anybody else I really want to see on this team? I'd like to watch Connor Lean a little bit, his teammate. I want to see what the talk in the Carolina League is about as far as him being a really, really good defensive outfielder. I believe he won the vote for best defensive outfielder in that league.
And he may be the second best defensive outfielder on this team. Travis Jankowski, also on this team, who's a very good center fielder. And also has spent some time in the big leagues this year.
After there.
Yeah, after the trade, they traded Venable and gave Travis Jankowski a chance. Other guys, I think this is a very important. When I said that with AJ Reed, like if he has a great AFL, it's one slight step forward. If he has a bad AFL, you write it off as he's tired and you don't really worry about it. That's not true with DJ Peterson. DJ Peterson has had, I mean, there's no other way to put it. He's had a terrible season. For a bat first baseman, you have to hit more than he's hit this year. If you're the Mariners, you're hoping that this October is the start of the return of the DJ Peterson that you fell in love with as a first round pick, not the one who struggled to post a 230 batting average and a 270 on base and a 3-something slugging percentage this year. So very important for him. Speaking of Mariners, Tyler O'Neill, who's coming off of a very good year in the Cal League, 30 home runs, swings and misses a lot, but he does hit the ball really far when he connects. He's notable to watch. Mike Yastrzemski, who I think we both enjoyed seeing last year in the Carolina League. Probably you're hoping more likely a fourth outfielder than anything, but left-handed hitter, so that fits a fourth outfield profile. Interested to see him. Phil Irvin and Alex Blandino and Nick Trevieso. The Reds are sending first-round picks to the Arizona Fall League. Trevieso trying to catch up some innings that he missed because he took a comebacker off of his forearm and so missed about 2 months. So it'll be good for him to get some innings. Blandino had a really good first full season in high class A Daytona this year. Struggled a little bit since he's been promoted to Double A, but this is a chance for him to kind of show, okay, you know, a strong AFL puts him in line for a pretty quick promotion next year, maybe up to Triple A if he has a strong start in Double A. He's one to watch. Phillip Irvin, bounce back year this year. Still some questions. He's a corner outfielder. He's going to have enough power to do that, but he'll be interesting to watch. A couple of Rule 5 picks on this team who need innings because of that. David Rollins, who had a suspension, missed time with PED suspension, so and also has been kind of buried in the Mariners pen as a Rule 5 pick. It's innings for him. Daniel Winkler, who missed the entire year as a Rule 5 pick so far with Tommy John surgery, although I don't know why the Braves, unless they're just being completely and totally ethical about not doing it, but if he is able to breathe and wear a uniform, I'd put him on the 40-man rock. I'd call him up for September to start his Rule 5 clock because you need 90 days.
I mean, they cleared Johnny Gomes out to, you know, to make a spot for him.
He's already got the 40-man roster spot. So, yeah, so that's true. Johnny Gomes, I don't know if he can match Johnny Gomes' impressive work, though. But Andrew Thurman, Braves pickup from the Astros last year in one of the many offseason trades. Mauricio Cabrera, we talk about triple-digit guys. Mauricio Cabrera is an honest-to-goodness triple-digit guy. Doesn't know where it's going when it goes triple digits, but it is. He is a triple-digit guy.
He's got two others. He's got a changeup. He's got a slider.
Right. It's just that knowing where they're going has been really a trouble for him.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys, Chance Sisko can hit. He needs to work on his defense. This is a great place to do it. When he catches Mauricio Cabrera, who doesn't know where it's going, that'll be a good test for him. How well can you receive 100 miles an hour that's a little bit not hitting the mitt?
I wonder if they'll even let him do that.
This is the place to do it. It's the place to do it. Chad Wallach, a Reds pickup from the Marlins last offseason in the Anthony DeSclafani trade, I believe. Another guy who picked up in the, I guess we would actually call that the Matt Latos trade, but we're Baseball America, so we call it the DeSclafani trade. But those are all guys to watch. Overall, talent-wise, this is a down roster.
Mm-hmm. And if we're going to keep going alphabetically, we're going to get to an even more down roster, the Salt River Raptors, which is missing one Rockies pitcher, two Mets pitchers, and a Blue Jays pitcher, and a Rockies outfielder, and two Mets infielders. So there's a lot of TBAs coming, but I'm going to kick it to you this time first, JJ. Who do you want on the Salt River Raptors roster? Wow.
Who do I want to see? The best prospect on this is Wilmer Defoe, I'd argue. But the guys I would want to see, I'll start with Jordan Patterson. Kind of gets lost a little bit because the Rockies have a lot of good outfield prospects. But Jordan Patterson is a pretty intriguing, very toolsy guy. He's interesting to see, kind of be interested to see how he does there. And you could argue Tom Murphy could make an argument that he's he's not Wilmer Defoe, but he's definitely one of the better prospects on this team. A catcher who I think the Rockies see as a potential everyday guy for them down the road.
I want them to go off the board again, because that's what I do. I want to see Roman Fields okay. in the outfield, because he is a guy who has an interesting backstory. I believe he was out of the game for a time and then had a tryout camp, if I remember correctly, and someone saw him and liked him, and this is for the Blue Jays, mm-hmm. and he kind of zoomed through their system.
Perfect kind of guy to go to the AFL.
Yeah, he's 24 years old, and I'd like to see what he has, if this is the real deal guy. Of the bigger names, I like Gabby Guerrero. I mean,
traded this for the in the Mark Trumbo trade this year to the D-backs from the Mariners.
The Gabby Guerrero trade. Yeah, he's a guy who's fun to watch. He might not, you know, he's going to be like his uncle and swing at a lot of stuff. But when he connects it, man, it's going to go far. And he's got that sick. He's got an arm in the outfield, too.
He does have the arm. Unfortunately, he does not have that same hand eye to hit the bouncing ball off of the dirt.
Which, I will remind you, I did at our BA Olympics.
That is true.
I'm the Vlad of this office. For pitchers, Yoan Lopez.
Yep.
The mystery man from Arizona, who got a big old bonus from the Diamondbacks. And then he hit someone with a pitch this year. And oh, you know who he was? He hit Dansby Swanson with a pitch mm-hmm. and delayed
in, start in his extended.
Right.
They both were there. Well, not extended, but just they were both at the complex before heading back out.
And and Adam Miller is another guy who can touch 100.
Yep, he can definitely.
I know I missed him this year on my Tennessee trip.
But he definitely can do that. Other guys, Oscar Hernandez, we're going to have Rule 5 pick who needs the ABs. I credit Oscar Hernandez. Oscar Hernandez is the first Class A catcher ever taken in the Rule 5 draft to stick under the current Rule 5 rules. That's a pretty impressive.
Didn't Adrian Nieto?
He was not a low Class A guy.
I thought he was
He made a double A, I believe, too. But sorry, low. I should specify low Class A, because Oscar was in low Class A last year. Spencer Kaboom, down year this year compared to last year, but some scouts who like him think he could be a backup catcher down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Rowdy Tellez kind of really got things going this year after what's really been kind of a slow start to his career, but. A first baseman who can mash. He better mash because he's the first baseman, but a first baseman who can mash. Those, I think we both agree, though, this is the... We still have some other names to see. Could change it. But right now, if you're looking and you've got 2 days or 3 days in Arizona and you're trying to figure out your schedule and you have to miss Salt River, that's okay.
But you're going to want to go to Salt River, too, because the... Surprise, Saguaros, which we'll get to later, are playing their home game.
That is true.
Salt River.
And by the way, you want to go to Salt River because it's a beautiful ballpark.
It is. It is a little difficult to find the entrance if you're me sometimes.
I don't ever have that problem.
Well, then that's just me. I remember certain.
Well, also, we have these great things on our phones. They're called GPSs.
Yeah, I know. I got to the park, but kept going around and not thinking the gates were open. I just circled the park for like 20 minutes.
No, sorry to hear that.
Did it 2 years in a row.
So that moves us on to the Scottsdale Scorpions. I will let you lead off again, and I don't know where you're going to get to, when you're going to get to this, but we definitely have someone here who will hit 100.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll talk about...
We have a couple people who may hit 100 on this
team. Yes, we'll talk about a guy who won't hit 100, Bradley Zimmer. I'm doing the Carolina...
His brother won't hit 100 either, and his brother's a pretty good pitcher. But
right. I'm doing the Carolina and Eastern Leagues for our top 20s, which are coming soon at baseballamerica.com. Yes. And he's going to place on both those lists.
So. Very well, I would imagine, considering
he's
kind of a
there,
stud.
Yeah, he'll probably be top three in at least one of those lists. And he's got one of the better, if not the best, power-speed combination in the outfield in the minors. He kind of dominated at... Lynchburg this year, and has done pretty well at
Akron,
yes, the Rubber Ducks. But he's going to be a fun guy to watch. Whether he's center fielder or right fielder going forth remains to be seen, but from what I hear, he's got the skills to stick in center, and that's a good thing. I think he's probably the most, you know what, maybe not the most exciting prospect, but he's up there. I think there's a couple more guys just based on their 180 tool who are a little more exciting.
Okay, well, who's someone else that you find more exciting? I'll let you pick a couple.
Adam Brett Walker. I want to see if he can hit a ball to the moon.
Massive power.
I've seen him hit a ball to something closer than the moon, but pretty far.
I'll put it this way. There are Twins people you talk to. Miguel Sano is a better prospect. Miguel Sano is awesome. Miguel Sano has awesome power. And you can talk to Twins officials who will say Adam Brett Walker has more raw power than Miguel Sano.
I'm inclined to agree.
He has less contact ability, but more power.
Is he going to lead the minors in home runs this year?
No. A.J. Reed has 33. Right. Jabari Blash has 31.
Walker hit a ball this year when I was on that aforementioned Tennessee trip. It was just like swatting at a gnat, and it went 420, 430 feet, just on a line. It just kind of took your breath away. But I don't think he got much of a hit the rest of the series. But that's one of those where at any moment your jaw can unhinge.
No, he is very fun to watch.
And then you'll talk about Mr. Triple Digits here on this pitching staff.
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, this is, again, one thing that stands out is there's five outfielders listed here, and all five of them are interesting in one way or another. I mean, everyone here is interesting in some way, but Clint Frazier, first-round pick, who had a really good year.
He's crazy also bat speed, yeah, red hair.
Michael Gerber is a later-round pick who had a great year in the Midwest League. This is great for him. Kind of a little bit of prove that you weren't just a guy who knows how to hitting in a league that's really too low for you. So this will be a good shot for him for that. Tigers prospect Mac Williamson, who missed a year but has hit at times, is a Giants outfield prospect in addition to Walker and Zimmer, who you talked about. You go to the infield, and you've got Christian Arroyo, former first-round pick. You've got Carlos Asuaje, who I feel bad for Carlos Asuaje. He ranks about 72nd on the Red Sox depth chart at second base and in middle infield, but he's kind of interesting. Jacoby Jones, who the Pirates traded to the Tigers this year for Joaquin Soria, who can he play shortstop? I don't know about that, but can he play a lot of places? Get some power for a guy who has some athleticism? Absolutely. Sam Travis, who
can hit and hit for power and play around the bag. He's a very exciting prospect in that system.
Zhuwei Lin, who is about one spot behind Carlos Asuaje on the ever so deep.
Yeah, he's 21, but as much as I've seen him, I feel like he should be 40 at this point.
Taxi squatter for this, so we won't be seeing him too much. And then that gets us to, okay, if you get to the late innings and you go Nick Birdie followed by Ray Black, it's not going to be fun for, and you really go Jake Reed, Nick Birdie, Ray Black. That's three guys. That's two guys in Black and Birdie. Black will give you 103 at his best. Birdie will give you 100, 101. Reed will only get to about 98.
It's funny, though, like on that staff with Reed and Birdie on twice now, aforementioned Tennessee trip, those two weren't the guys who hit triple digits. JT Schwarbois hit 101, I think.
Right. The Twins have some guys who can bring it. Birdie had a much better second half. He had to be demoted.
Right, and he was the classic thrower, not pitcher.
He does seem like he's made some strides, but it'll be worth seeing at this. Ray Black, can he stay healthy? I mean, the one thing, look at his day-by-days this year. Last year, it was every 3 days. This year, he's not even pitching every 3 days a lot of times. It's the concern is just, can he be healthy? And then that Mitch Garver is a potential backup catcher down the road for the Twins. You know, maybe that kind of guy.
Same with Stuart Turner.
I think this is I would say this is a very solid roster. Not the best.
Yeah.
But very solid. And that brings us
to surprise.
Who will be playing in Salt River? Not surprise.
The Sahara.
Which, if you haven't been to Arizona, having surprise play in Salt River, that's not like down the street.
No. And I mean, I thought you were going to bag on Surprises Park, which is fine.
I don't have no problem. I mean, it's not Salt River, but, I have no problem with Surprises Park. But I've actually spent a lot of time there because the Royals and Rangers prospects, when I go there, are usually pretty interesting. But
Salt River is my favorite.
That's the Taj Mahal.
It might be my second. I like Mesa's Cubs Park. I don't think they're using it. Unless they've renamed it Sloan Field here. But that's a better one, and for purely video purposes, the batting cages at Salt River give me terrible lens flare, and I always forget it, and then I look at my film, and I've got this diamond of light in the middle of all my films. So, and I'm not going to nitpick Salt River anymore. It's really awesome, except for that stinking lens flare.
Okay.
But let's talk about the players.
Yes. So who do you... We have a Royals pitcher and two Yankees pitchers that are to be announced
right
on this list. But this is the Brewers, Cardinals, Rangers, Royals, Yankees. Who do you look forward to seeing?
Alex Reyes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, we talked about him facing Jose De Leon and throwing him 101. He was the first player I went to see as a member of Baseball America. I knew nothing about him. I just knew, oh, look, he's got like an $800,000 bonus or whatever it was at this time. Like, all right, let's go see him at Johnson City in Burlington. And the first inning, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And then the rest of the game, he struck out 8 guys, and I think they were all on 3 pitches. And it was incredible. You know, his fastball, I didn't have a radar gun at that point, so I don't really know what he was hitting.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was high, fast. He hit 101 this year a couple times. Well, I think he hit 102 at one point this year. But he's got the nasty curveball and the changeup, and he's one of the few guys in the minors who has true number one ace with potential. If everything clicks, he's an absolute monster.
I was sharing Alex Reyes' breaking ball stories recently with a guy who's seen in the Texas League, and I was telling about the time that I saw him where he got a batter to duck out of the way on back-to-back strikes, and he goes, okay, I saw him where he had a left-handed batter duck out of the way on a strike, which is hard to do when you're a right-handed pitcher with your curveball.
Mm-hmm.
But he is very fun to watch. It's hard to argue that one. I mean, that's definitely a guy to watch. A lot of interesting names here, though. Number of guys who were recently traded. If you're a Brewers fan and you want to see the much-improved Brewers farm system, you get a pretty good chance here because you could go see Josh Hader, left-hander who maybe he ends up being a reliever, but no reason Brewers not to give him a chance to try to start. And if you look at him as he misses bats. You know, the delivery is unusual. He's a little guy, but he misses bats. But he's the guy they brought over. Adrian Houser, another guy they got from the Astros, is and had a pretty solid finish at AA Biloxi. And then the main guy, the cornerstone guy they got from the Astros in the Carlos Gomez trade, Brett Phillips, also heading there. That is a pretty fun group to watch if you're a Brewers fan. The center fielders here, very, very interesting. There are 7 outfielders on this, 2 of them taxi squad guys, but 7 outfielders. And Lewis Brinson is a center fielder. Brett Phillips is a center fielder. Bubba Starling is a center fielder. Some of those guys are going to be playing some other positions.
No, this roster, even the outfield in this roster is stupid. It's just
Brinson,
stupid.
By the way, has had, just made a triple A, but
he's OPS 992 this year.
He has had, part of that was a great ballpark in the Cal League, but he's had one of the best years in the minors. We talk about A.J. Reed. Lewis Brinson's another one of the position players who's had one of the best years in the minors. Missed some time early. This is also good for him to catch up some ABs he missed. But, yeah.
Unlike A.J. Reed, you might sell some jeans on Lewis Brinson.
Yes.
They'd be the skinny jeans, but
yes, he's very athletic. You look further on this list. The infield is interesting in a different way. Hey, welcome back, Jurickson Profar. The thing to remember of Jurickson Profar has missed 2 years now. He was a big leaguer who's missed 2 years. And by the way, Jurickson Profar is still going to be one of the younger guys on this team.
Yep, he's, if I can do my math here, 22 years old.
He'll play the entire AFL at 22, and he's missed 2 years with injuries.
Yeah, it's not like he's a 30-year-old man now. He's lost
right.
his spot. I mean,
he's lost his spot right now because he has to.
Rugi Odor has passed him, and Elvis Andrews still exists.
And has a large contract.
Yeah. But
Tyler Wade, I know, is an interesting guy who.
Yep, he's a 20-year-old. He'll turn 21 probably right after the Fall League ends, right before, maybe Thanksgiving this year. And he's one of those rare guys in the Yankee system who's jumped through the minor leagues and is a double A before he's 21 as a shortstop. That's also a product of the fact that they've got a lot of guys pushing him. Jorge Mateo's breathing down his neck.
Jorge Mateo is going to go double A at 21. I mean, come on.
Avelino's breathing down his neck. They got this guy named Gregorius at the major league level.
You don't want those guys breathing down your neck because they will outrun you. Both Avelino and Mateo, if they're chasing you, they will catch you because they are very, very fast.
They will. Yeah, yes. Mateo is a 7 or 8 runner, depending on who you ask.
I hear more 8s than 7s.
Yeah, I got a couple of 7s based on skill and not just pure speed. But in any case, there's him. We got Eric DeGuilo, who was going to be in the fall league last year, but got hit in the face with a pitch in the instructs.
Ouch.
And, missed the rest of the year. So let's try it again. And Gary Sanchez, who had the catcher with the Yankees, who had a...
Who feels like he is 32, but he's actually 23. Only...
23.
Yeah.
And he's...
22?
22, yes, I can't do math. 22 years old, and he did very well on his promotion to AAA this year. He has a little bit of a hamstring ding right now. So we'll see what he does in the fall. But another futures gamer.
I will say I think I'm contractually obligated to Talking Royals, and Bubba Starling's there to talk about him. Bubba's had a better year this year, and this will be kind of, again, that's a useful test for him. He's played enough in AA that a strong AFL maybe puts him in contention to head straight to AAA. A bad AFL, you know, maybe that plays a little bit to go back to AA. So
is he in AAA now?
Last I checked, it was still AA, but they've made a lot of moves lately. They could have brought him up because they're moving up some guys.
Yeah,
so.
He missed a month this year with a hamstring ding.
Right, that seemed to really slow him down when he was on a roll at the time. But overall, this roster, I think you'd say that outfield group,
yeah,
number two or number three among the best rosters?
I think this is the number one roster.
You like that one, number one?
I mean, yeah. Alex Reyes, to me, Brett Phillips. Those two do it for me. Jordan Profar is really interesting. I mean, Brinson, Michael Reed is not a guy to sleep on. Bubba Starling. I think this is number one with a bullet.
Interesting. I could see that. I guess, you know, it probably is better than Scottsdale. It's close, but, I mean, Scottsdale has a very good outfield as well.
I got Glendale number two.
Yeah, I could see that too because J.P. Crawford,
who and is AJ the best. Reed.
J.P. Crawford's the best prospect who's at this. I mean, who's there? And A.J. Reed is significant. If I was going to do a knock about Glendale, it's just that the pitching staff you're going to see for Glendale is not going to compare.
For right now, yeah.
Yeah.
We still have the mystery Dodgers pitchies.
That's true. I don't expect to see Julio Urias show up there, but then it would be...
If he does, you're going to have to restrain me.
Yeah. Well, you've seen him.
Not for a long time, man.
Yeah, he was like 17 the last time you saw him.
I was chasing my tail the last time I tried to see him.
It's hard. I mean, that they do not make that easy to...
No, I found out that I could have done his game, and then 5 minutes later could have seen Grant Holmes the same day, but only the scouts knew about Urias throwing.
But well, again, that's our look for now. Obviously, some of these rosters will change in the next few weeks leading up to the Arizona Fall League, but pretty good list, pretty good group, as always. It's not... I don't think this is a Trout-Harper group, but...
No.
That's going to be rare. We're not going to see that very often.
We had 2 years in a row of Buxton.
Yes.
Who else did we have last year that was awesome?
The one thing I always do caution people when you look at the Arizona Fall League, the one thing that is rough about this is you see guys who are there who are really worn out or are mentally exhausted, if nothing else.
But get there early. Last year, I always go in the first week. Last year, the opening two games I went to featured Taijuan Walker, Kyle Zimmer, Archie Bradley, and Tyler Glasnow matching up. That's incredible.
And at the end of the season, you would not have seen that.
No, and as it turned out, it was pretty much the end of Kyle Zimmer's season as it was.
Yes.
He had one more start after that, and he was amazing, and then blew up.
Yes, which is kind of...
So I expect to see Alex Reyes on day one.
But so that's our Arizona Fall League look. We are going to transition now to an interview with Dodgers AA right-hander Jose De Leon. So we thank you for our AFL wrap-up. Enjoy now this talk with Jose De Leon. We're here on the Baseball America Prospect Handbook podcast. J.J. Cooper here, and very happy to be joined by Dodgers right-hander Jose De Leon, who has pretty much rocketed through the minors in the last 2 years. Started last season extended, went to short season ball, dominated the Midwest League at the end of the year. Got to taste the Cal League and the fun pitching environments out there this year. Has moved up to AA, joining one of the most impressive rotations that you'll see in the minors. Jose De Leon, Julio Urias. Can't forget about Jarrell Cotton, I mean, who's moved up to AAA. Urias just moved up to AAA. But Jose, thank you for joining us. And I'll start off by asking you kind of where we got started this conversation. This weekend, you had a pretty fascinating duel with, you guys were against Springfield, but it was a National League game, so you both, you and Alex Reyes both got to hit. So what is it like standing in the box? You're a pitcher, but what is it like as a hitter? You got to, I mean, especially when you get that first time, it's like, okay, we need you to sacrifice a bunt. What does it feel like when you're squaring against a guy who you can know can hit triple digits?
Yeah, it's always really interesting, the feeling you get when you're in the batter's box. I mean, you're about to hit, and then you're facing these guys going over 90s, and, you know, I knew I had the bunt sign on, so I was like, I'm just catch the ball with the bat. Then first pitch he threw, it was low, and I told the catcher, wow, that was real hard. But I saw it out of his hand, and then next pitch it was right down the middle. I put the bone down, and I was happy to get out of there. So yeah, it's really fun. I love hitting. I really think it's more fun when pitchers hit. It's kind of like old school baseball. So it's always fun, but facing a guy like that, it's kind of like, you know, nerve-wracking a little bit.
And then the second at bat, you get back in the box. This time you get to swing away, but this time you get two strikes, and he goes upstairs with 101. That's you can't feel too bad about not catching up to that one, I imagine.
Yeah. That's what they were telling me in the dugout. Not even our guys in the lineups were catching up. So yeah. One player asked me, how did I see that? And I said, I didn't. it was fun for real. It was really fun. And Alex is a great guy, and he has a bright future ahead. So, like I was telling Matt Hurges yesterday, we were talking about like 10 years from now, are you gonna talk about with your guys with the guys you faced in or how nasty a guy was when you played in Double-A or Triple-A? And for sure, I will have this at bat in my mind for the rest of my career.
And it was fun watching that game. I watched it on MILB TV, and both you guys were doing everything you expect. What's fun with watching you is again, you're just as uncomfortable at bat for guys because you've got the fastball, but then you also have a changeup that it really can just kind of baffle guys. It's a changeup that, you know, they describe it, the changeup that you can tell them's coming and that doesn't really matter that much. Is that pitch kind of always been your pitch, or is that something that's really kind of developed for you in the last couple of years?
Well, I had it, but it wasn't my pitch. And last year, I knew I had to work on it because I was relying more on my fastball and my slider. So I knew I had to work on it. So I went to Winter Ball in Puerto Rico and started working on it and really felt something click there. So I could throw changeups. When I was in Puerto Rico, I was throwing a lot of changeups, and I was really feeling confident with it. And even in Great Lakes at the end of the last year, I could throw changeups 3-0 counts or 3-1 counts. And I really felt like it was like one of the pitch with the better commands I had. So yeah, I worked with it and improved it because I knew it wasn't my best pitch. So right now I think it's one of the best, if not the best pitch in my repertoire right now. So yeah, I really worked on it.
Did you change the grip on it or anything? Or was it just that you, as throwing it, you just got the better feel for it?
Better feel. I've been throwing this changeup since I was in college, the same one. I don't know, something clicked in my delivery with the changeup, the way my arm went, got up, and the way I released the ball. I don't know, something just clicked, and it was real fun.
I mean, that's obviously one of the great things about winter ball is you can kind of make those steps forward, especially against pretty impressive competition. I have to imagine it also is pretty fun for you to get to pitch in Puerto Rico over the winter and kind of go home for a little while and kind of.
Yeah, it was really, really fun, especially it was my first time my family could see me pitch as a professional. And I started the game, the opening day in the hometown, in the home team I grew up being a fan of. And now I was playing the rivals. So it was pretty fun. I was close to home. And all my family, friends were there. More than 70 people went to the game just to watch me. And it was really fun playing winter ball this off season. Really helped my development and the way I saw hitters, and I think it was a great experience.
And are you planning to go back? Are you hoping to go back this winter? Or I know you've got a number of innings this year. Is that something still to be determined?
Yeah, my innings are limited, so I still don't know if the Dodgers are gonna let me go. I'm working on it, but it's right now. I'm just focused on finishing strong this season and see where I end up this year, and we go from there. I don't want to be thinking about winter ball when I've still got a couple games left.
Absolutely. Along those lines, we talked about your rotation. You've got a number of guys, you've had a number of teammates this year that have to be pretty fun to watch themselves kind of when you're sitting in a dugout between starts. You know, a guy like, you know, Julio Urias, it's amazing to see what he does at the age he does it. I mean, could you imagine at his age being, you know, kind of thrown into double A and kind of being ahead of the hitters that you're facing? It's pretty unreal.
It's unreal. Like you say, it's something you don't see very often, and the way he goes about his business is just off the charts. I always tell Matt Hergis, our pitching coach, that it's just stunning the way he handles all these buzz he has around him, and I really look up to him. I tell him every time, like, hey, you're 3 years younger than me, but 4 years younger than me, but I really look up to you because the way you go about your business, and there's no wage for a good pitch, so I think it's pretty special.
No, and again, it's been a fun, you know, a fun staff you guys have had there, because I mean, Jarrell Cotton, who just got bumped up as well, another guy who I know, you know, people usually talk about you and they talk about Urias, but Cotton's a guy we're going to be seeing in the big leagues before too long as well. I kind of feel like.
Yeah, I think he's gonna get a shot this year. I hope he does. He's earned it, man. That's one of the hardest working kids I've seen, and when you have that drive, it's gonna pay off.
Well, but back to you, coming up, kind of, you know, growing up, was this always, you know, kind of the goal? You know, hey, I feel like I can be a future big leaguer, or when did you kind of realize that this was a legitimate option?
To be honest with you, that's always been my dream. But when I was in college, I saw it so far from happening. Because I remember filling out the scouts questionnaires and like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And I was like, man, 10 years, man. I gotta be pitching in the big leagues, but I don't know. That seems like a long shot. And
it seemed like a long way from there from where you were to there, I imagine.
Oh yeah, definitely. And when I signed, I was like another number there. I wasn't like a guy, you know. And I felt like I told everybody I felt out of place. I felt like I didn't belong in spring training. And I don't know. It was something happening extended, and it just clicked. And from there on, I saw the big leagues closer and closer every time.
Well, going back to when you were drafted, you know, so who was your area scout? Who was the guy who called and said, "Hey, you know, we want you to be a Los Angeles Dodger."
Yeah, Matt Paul.
And
Matt Paul, he's brothers of Xavier Paul.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the area scout for the Dodgers in Louisiana and that south.
But so at that point, you go and were kind of kept back in extended spring the next year, was that a surprise to you? Or is that kind of, as you say, kind of what your mindset at that point, was that kind of expected at that point? Like, okay.
It was more, I honestly, I didn't know what to expect because it was my first spring training coming in. And it was more like an eye-opening experience, just to see, hey, I didn't make the club. I'm not good enough. I got to work on it. And it really opened my eyes and helped me a lot. But I wasn't really expecting anything. I wish I could have would have made a team, but I don't know what could have happened if I did.
It's worked out pretty well since.
Yes. Probably the best thing that's happened to me in my career was staying in extended that year.
Well, so the other thing is at what point did you, I'm big about, you know, where guys set up on the rubber. At what point did you kind of move where you set up on the rubber? Was that around that time too?
No, I actually went through all extended pitching on the third base side.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the year in Ogden, and my first game I pitched from that side, from the third base side, and didn't go well. I gave like 6 runs in like 3 2/3 of an inning. And for the next outing, my pitching coach, Greg Sabat, said, "Hey, I want you to try something. Just move to this side and just see how do you feel." And man, it just opened the whole strike zone. It was like huge. I was able to locate my fastball. I saw, because I was so on top of the hitter that when I moved to that side, I saw everything clear.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt more confident throwing pitch where I didn't see anybody. So it's just something that just clicked, like I say, and just those little details just helped me out. And I still try to learn something every day and try to improve something. And because you're like our pitching coordinator says, you're never a finished product, so you got to keep working on things and get ready for that call up.
No, I mean Clayton Kershaw's still learning stuff. If you're in the minors,
right,
you've
right,
got a lot
right.
to learn still. But it does.
Yeah.
Did it feel like did that outside corner become much more of a viable option? That arm side, you know. Once you moved over, I mean, did that kind of open that up a little bit, or did it help with your slider
yes,
too?
Yes, especially to that side, because throwing to the arm side of the plate, it was always easier because I was on that side.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little tougher because I was still a little across my body. So when I moved to that side, I was still a little across my body, but it was easier for me to hit that spot in the glove side. So yeah.
No, so you go to Ogden, and then that really seems like is where it really kind of all clicked, and it had to feel good. So what did it feel like when they said, "Hey, we're you've had success here, we're moving you up, we're sending you to Great Lakes"? I mean that kind of had to be that first step of, hey, I'm on the right path.
Yes. I was expecting it because I was just waiting. I felt like I was ready to go to pitch in the next level.
Mm-hmm.
It was Great Lakes, and when they finally told me, I was like, okay, here we go. I remember the guy who helped me out in extended, Puerto Rican Hector Berrios.
Mm-hmm.
He was pitching coach there. And he told me, "Hey, you're closer than you think." And I was like, that made me realize that I was on the right path. And yes, it was awesome.
And you go to Great Lakes, and you show pretty quickly you belong there. 4 starts at the end of the year, but that had to be some really good momentum coming into the off season to know, okay, I've gone to full season ball, and he was right. I am closer than I think. I'm able to pitch at this level. Was that like another confidence boost? 4 starts, 42 Ks, 2 walks in 22 innings. You had some pretty fun outings there, it seemed like.
Oh yeah, it was really fun, and I still use those games. So where when I don't feel right or my delivery is not right, I go back to those games and watch those videos to see what I'm doing different from what I was doing there. Because there it was when everything was on point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go look back at those videos. And yeah, it felt really good just going through that momentum I had going from Ogden to Great Lakes and then going to Winter Ball and having success there. It was really fun and helped me out with my confidence, my self-confidence to this year.
Now, and then this year, did it feel different going into spring training? I mean, did it feel like you said last year was kind of like, what am I doing? This year, did I have that feel of, okay, let's go to work?
Oh, yeah. It was completely different. People were treating me different. and it was awesome. I mean, coming into spring training, my first spring training, I was nervous because they were releasing people that signed in my year,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, man, I didn't do that good in Ogden my first year. I had like a 12-10 ERA in five games, and I was a little nervous. This year I was so confident. I knew I was gonna make a club, and I was just ready to go out there and work. My mind was right. Everything was great. My body was feeling great. So it was a lot different.
Well, and then you go to the Cal League, which is, there's a lot of places there that are not particularly fun to pitch, but you just kept rolling right along. I mean, you've pitched in Lancaster now. You can check that off the list. I know in April it's a little better than it is later in the year, but you had some places out there where you know you've really got to hit your spots, don't you? Or a mistake there can go out pretty quickly.
Yeah, Lancaster. I remember one of my teammates said, "Man, we're going to Lancaster this week," and I was like, "I really want to pitch there. I want to prove a point." And
you proved it.
I remember the wind was blowing straight out like 50 miles, and I was like, I want to pitch here. I really want to pitch here. First period of the game, home run. I was like, oh, maybe I don't want to. But after that, I settled down and pitched pretty good. I think it was my highest fastball of the year. I think I hit 97 that day. And it was really fun. Then pitching in High Desert, I had one of the best games I had in Cali. And I don't know. I like to pitch with my back against the wall. Mm-hmm. I really like that. It's just something like competitive mindset that I have that just gets me fired up.
And so then you get the word, hey, you're headed to Tulsa. That had to be, again, it had to be fun from the standpoint of you get the promotion to Tulsa basically less than a year after you were still an extended. And here you are. Go ahead.
Yes, that was exactly the same thing I was thinking. As soon as I got called up, I was, man, at this same point last year, I was in extended because I didn't make a club, and now I'm in Double A, just a phone call away.
It's got to be pretty amazing, to think.
Yeah, it's really fun. It was really awesome to just think in that way, and it helps your confidence. The way I know I was working and seeing that everything was paying off, is just really, really awesome.
So I got to ask you, so in Tulsa, how have you felt about, you know, your first stint in AA? As far as, I mean, obviously not as much stats. I mean, your stats have been pretty impressive, but as far as executing your pitches, as far as doing what you want to do, how does this first year in AA kind of felt?
It's been a learning process, especially in this level. I've had some good games, I had some bad games, and it's always to like remember that those things are gonna happen. Because I was kind of like getting used to not. I don't want to sound like a prick, but kind of getting used to like going out there and do well and succeed, and kind of like expectations were getting higher and higher. So even my own expectations were higher. So when I was doing that well, I was getting frustrated or beating myself down. But it's just part of the game. I'm really happy that everything is going the way it's going. And that I've had some bad games here that made me realize what I gotta do better, and it's always good to do well, but if you can take a loss or a bad game into a positive way, it's even better.
Yeah, what do you learn when you have a bad outing now? What I mean, it sounds like you're a guy who likes to look at video. You know, kind of how do you approach things when you have that bad outing to kind of reset for 5 days later?
Yeah, I really like to have a short time memory, and I'm not that great of a video looker. It's just when things are going that I feel is going bad, I go look at videos. But if I don't have to, I don't do it. I just try to forget things quick. If I do well, I forget it. Let's work to the next one. And if I do bad, let's forget it. Let's go to the next one. It's all about the every fifth day. And yes, I just try to prove a point every time I go out. If I don't, then next time I'll do it.
What's that point? What are you trying to prove?
That I ready to pitch in the big leagues.
Do you feel like at this point, you know, if the call came tomorrow and said, hey, we need you in Los Angeles, you feel like you're ready?
I think I'm ready. I want to do that, but let's be honest. I don't want to sound like I.
Right.
Like
no, it's not your choice. It's not your call. It's theirs.
Right.
But if they call you, you're not going to tell them I can't do it.
Oh no. Yeah. I would love to get that chance, and I still got another game. I'm pitching Thursday, so I gotta control what I can control.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get the chance to pitch in big leagues this year, it's gonna be awesome. I would love to, and I think I'm ready. And if not, I just wait for next year.
And the thing that also just jumps out, I mean, it's. Just on your own team, the Texas League has been a pretty amazing league this year. You're facing a whole lot of very impressive hitters, you know, this year. And also, just on your own team, I mean, you've had some very impressive guys on your team. But I guess I'll ask you with that, who are the guys who've jumped out to you? Who are the guys who've really give you very tough at-bats? Who's someone you're like, okay, that's a guy that 10 years from now, I hope I'm still facing him, and I figure I'll probably still be battling with him in the big leagues?
Yeah, the guy who stands out for me is Brett Phillips.
He's good.
He's been a guy, yeah, he's really good. And he's a great guy, too. Let me see who else.
I was going to say, you all were talking, y'all were having a mutual admiration society on on Sunday. Because he was talking about how you have to swing at every, you know, the first pitch so you don't get to your changeup. And you're pointing out, you know, well, you hit one out. Well, yeah, it was Lancaster. He was the guy who let off the game, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was him.
That was him. But
and then I faced him in against Corpus in Tulsa, and I threw a first pitch, and he popped it out to first base, and I went to cover first base, and when he was running first, he was like. Really? Change up? I was like, man, that was a fastball. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I have to worry about it. If you think that was a change up. And then he was like, no, that was cheese. He was just playing with me. He was a great guy.
And one of the things that jumps out with you is like, but you have that belief in that change up now. You can go back to back with it. You can double up on it and not worry that, you know, he may be looking for it. And I think I've seen you do that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I've done it. Especially when I throw my first when I throw a changeup and it's not good, I have more confidence to throw it right back to back. When I don't throw it good, I go back to back if I have to, and I have more confidence than throwing it in another count.
It, you've really got now, because last year the slider was kind of the pitch that was the strikeout pitch. Do you kind of now feel,
yes.
You know, you get the two strikes, they can't really be sitting on something now, because now the changeup's
right.
Gotten to that level too.
Yeah.
That's got
to
be fun.
That's what I've been looking for, to have that. And honestly, my slider hasn't been that great this year, but I'm still working on it, and hopefully next outing I have all three pitches working, and that's always fun.
So which is more fun? When you strike out a guy with 96 or so up in the zone, or when you strike out a guy who's looking for 96 up in the zone, and you basically throw that change up and he's way, way, way out in front of it.
Striking out in general is fun. I think it's always like when you're a strikeout guy and you have that mentality, striking a guy out with the fastball high, it's always, I don't know, fires you up inside.
So before we wrap up, I do have to ask, you know, I've talked to a number of guys who potentially would be on the next Puerto Rican World Baseball Classic team. Is that something that would be, you know, fun to you? I mean, you look at, there is the makings of it was a pretty impressive team last time, but there's the makings of a pretty impressive team there. I was obviously looking way down the road, but when you got guys like, you know, Correa and you, and again, there's a lot of young talent that is kind of coming up. It really feels like that this is a kind of a golden age of baseball for Puerto Rico right now. Is that something that you're pretty proud of?
Oh my God. Words can describe the feeling we have and the pride we take about our flag in Puerto Rico. And that would be a dream come true, man. Representing my country, having that name on the chest, it would be, I don't know how to explain it. But yeah, it's been great, and I don't think we've had this group of guys coming up since like the 90s when Rodriguez, Juan Gonzalez, and those guys were, Roberto Alomar were playing. Yeah. I think Correa and Lindor, they're, and Kike, they're doing, I mean, Eddie Rosario, they're
Javier Baez coming back up today. I mean, it's
Javier. Yeah.
Berrios.
Jose Berrios, Jorge Lopez, Edwin Diaz. Man, it's gonna be real fun just potentially playing the big league with all those guys. And I'm really looking forward for that World Baseball Classic in 2017.
Well, the good thing for you is as a pitcher, it's just okay. Just tell me which day to pitch. Figuring out who's going to play shortstop for that team is going to be real fun, you know, because there's a whole lot of good shortstops who are, you know, young shortstops who are coming up. But, well, Jose, thanks again for the time. Good luck, obviously, with your last start of the season in Tulsa. But, obviously, that may not be the last start of the season. You know, good luck, you know, with the remainder of the season. And good luck. Again, it's been fun to watch, especially kind of, as you said, you're a guy who you had the dream. But at one point, the dream seemed oh so far away, and here you are now. You know, it's got to be fun for you and your family to realize that the dream's not that far away now.
It is, man. It is. I really appreciate it, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. This has been Jose De Leon on the Baseball America podcast. Thanks, and we'll be back in a minute. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Baseball America Prospect Handbook podcast. We'll be back again next week.